to Lake Country Bible Church, and it invites you to look in the back of the seat in front of you. You should see a slip of paper there, maybe in a plastic envelope. We'd appreciate you filling out that form just to give us some contact information for you. And at the end of the service, if you would, please drop that completed form off into the wicker basket just to the right of the glass double doors. Again, thank you for joining us in worship today.
Join me, if you would, for a few announcements right quick. In your bulletin, you'll notice Women's Bible Study. This Tuesday has been canceled. We'll resume next Tuesday. A lot going on around the church this week, so I don't have anything to do with that, I promise. Wednesday night services will still continue, 6 p.m. Everyone, of course, is welcome. Men's prayer group meets Friday at 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. All men are welcome. Bring a friend. I used to go to this. It was a great time of fellowship and prayer. And I can't say enough about how important it is for Christian men to get together, public places, private places, anywhere you can, to get together and pray, not only for each other and the church, but our nation as well, who needs a lot of prayer. So if y'all feel so inclined, please be there for that. 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. June 1st and 5th, Pastor Tony Rosas will be leading both Wednesday Bible study and Sunday services. If y'all haven't had a chance to hear Tony, I would encourage y'all to be here for that. He's a pleasure to hear. I think y'all would really enjoy him being here. His son is actually headed up to Georgia to Grace Farm to serve for the summer. And so on their way through to drop him off at the airport, they'll be here with us to fellowship and lead us in worship as well. Watering needs are still a concern. John and Jean Fox have a list of people that have signed up to assist them throughout the summer as Joe is headed out of town for a time. So if y'all feel so inclined to join them and enjoy the summer heat and watering the plants here on the premises, they would enjoy your presence. That's all I have here. Have I missed anything, or does anybody have anything to add? Okay. The only other announcement that I have, I believe we have a birthday in the church. Tim is having a birthday this week, is that correct? And so we're asking Steve to lead us in a happy birthday song for Tim this morning. Thank you very much. This morning, with joyful hearts, joining together in fellowship and worship. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, the freedom that we have in this country, the men who have sacrificed their lives to protect that for us. We thank you for them. We thank you for the men who are still out there on the front lines protecting this country and giving us the freedoms that we have. Ask, Lord, that you be with us during this service. Help us to focus on your word and the lessons that you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me, if you would, in the book of Titus, page 1030. Kidding. We'll be in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 15. Titus 2, 1 through 15. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they should in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Happy birthday, Tim. You 29 again?
Good.
Just keep the birthdays rolling. That's the thing to do. Whew. Not cold outside, but I did have chills up and down my back. That was a great special, very favorite song of mine, and I appreciate both of y'all doing such a job, and all of those who came up here and opened their mouths and made a joyful noise. That's great. I appreciate that so much. I'm not the only one that's got chills up and down my back. I think there's a young man that's going to be getting married here pretty quick. Stephanie has a smile on her face, and just to be honest, Wesley looks a little frightened, but I think it will be all right. Wes, you do owe me. You asked me to have read this morning from the scripture reading for wives to love their husbands and be obedient to their husbands, and I tried to help you out with that. And I will send you a bill first thing in the morning. Reminds me of an announcement in a church bulletin that Irving Benson and Jessica Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. So we hope this is not an end of the friendship. I can't stop with just one. The evening service tonight, we won't have one, but this church did. At the end of evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell?" Be sure and come early and listen to our choir practice. Sorry about that, Steve. 8 new robes, choir robes, are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. So, I guess I'm going to have to read this last one. The pastor will preach his farewell message, and after which the choir will sing, "Break forth into joy." Thank you all for being here. Good to look out and see such a group this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. Father, we're as your children. Things are not always as they should be in our lives. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and we ask that you would minister to us according to our needs. We pray, Father, that your word will touch our hearts, our minds. Father, your Holy Spirit will lead us in all that we need to do as far as your children are concerned. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that we have in Christ and our faith in him. We thank you, Father, for the security that we have as your children. As we lay down at night and sleep and rest peacefully, Father, we are assured that you love us with a perfect love. Father, we pray for all of the things that are going on in our church this week, especially on Saturday. We pray, Father, for the memorial service and the family who's lost a loved one. Father, we pray for the family that you minister richly to them. And Father, we pray that this time at our church this coming Saturday will be not only beneficial, but it will be strengthening, encouraging, and a blessing to them. And so, Father, we ask for that. We ask now that you would lead us in our service this morning. We'll give you the honor and praise in all things, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The book of Jude, a little bitty book that continues a theme that we read and studied in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, along with Titus, and now we're almost reading a recap or a repetition of the things that we learned and read in those books I just previously mentioned. It seems like the believer in today's world is beset by the things that Paul wrote about to Timothy, that Paul wrote to Titus about, and now we find that Jude writes about. Jude set out to write this book as on the common salvation, what it takes to be saved, to know that our sins have been paid for and heaven's our home. And it appears that that's what we find Jude intended to write upon, but he never had that opportunity because God had something else in store for him. We find in the book of Jude the same almost identical instructions that Paul gave in the previous books. We find now, as we begin today, we'll be beginning to look at, as soon as I get to my place, we're beginning to look at Jude chapter or verse 16. We find preceding this verse, verse 16, where Jude writes, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." We find previously to that, that Jude describes those who are apostate in the local church. And in verse 13, he said they are raging waves of the sea. The confusion, the turmoil that is in under the surface. Now, we need to be careful as Lake Country Bible Church that we do not allow these things to become what Jude writes as the raging seas, oceans in a turmoil, foaming, he says, out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We need to be very careful that the undercurrent in our church is one of peace, comfort, love, but also solidarity in what Scripture says. We find that throughout these books of instruction to Timothy and to Titus, and now as Jude is writing to us, we find that sound doctrine is the key to peace in the local church. Sound doctrine. We anticipate receiving some pushback as we begin to grow, because Satan is going to come in and cause these undercurrents that are not profitable to us as a local church, nor are they honoring and glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude wrote, and he said, these types of things in the local church are raging waves, wandering stars, just turmoil. And that is not and should not be the case in this local church. He goes on to say as a review in verse 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This is the confusion. This is the deviation, the swerving away from the path of sound doctrine and of the things that we learn in the Word of God. We find in verse 16, as we began this morning, "These are murmurers, complainers." Who? These ones that he was previously talking about. These apostates, these who would be those who cause such divisions in the local church, those who would say, "Psst, you don't know this, but," and they begin to spread rumors. We need to be careful that we're not a part of that. Our church needs the solidarity of the sound doctrine that we have as a basis for our time together. But he said in verse 16, "These are murmurers." How do you recognize them? They're murmurers. They're complainers, he said, walking after their own lust. That's not necessarily those things that are sexually deviant, but also the things that they want to see accomplished. That is, as I've said before, those who would say, "I want my own way." They have what is called perpendicular I-itis, I, me, my, mine. That's who they are. They're murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaketh great, swelling words. They sit back and they talk and people listen because they're such good talkers. Their mouth speaketh great, swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Most of the time, in these instances, there are people in the local community who have substantial standing, maybe substantial bank accounts, substantial vocabularies. They have many times substantial degrees, many of them. They are proud of themselves, and they come into a local church, and they cause great confusion. We need to be careful about that. Murmurers. What does Jude mean by using the word murmurers? He just means that they mutter to themselves and others, complaints. They murmur, low an audible voice. They speak in a whisper as they spread their discontentment, their complaints. We find complainers. What does he mean by complainers? It's literally, they literally blame others for their discontent, their unhappiness. If things were just, if he wasn't here in our midst, then boy, things would be so much better. If she wasn't here, if we didn't have to do these things for these people who have needs, boy, our church would be so much. This is the type of thing that they go after. Walking after their own lust means that they live to satisfy their cravings and desires. May not be a desire for some illicit act, but it could be a desire to be looked at, admired, talked about in positive ways. Could be that. But he says they speak with great swelling words. In addition, the flowery, extravagant, and exaggerated language. They speak in loving terms, loving ways, always building themselves up. We've seen that before, and God help us, we never see that again. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage means that they don't look to God, they look to themselves and who they are. Their looks, possibly. Their status in the community, possibly. Their bank accounts, possibly. The cars they drive. Anything that would build them up so that other people would look up and desire to be their friend, to have what they have. This are the folks that Jude is warning about. They do not look to God. Church, as small as we are, We need to look to God. We need to ask for His blessings. We're seeing His blessings. We need to continue to strive to have lives that are honoring and glorifying to Him. To humbly walk with others. To share the gospel to those who need to hear it. What an opportunity that we have as a local church in reaching out to people who need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to look to God as we move forward. You'll never know how much I appreciate your faithfulness in being here. Believers, Jude warns against these apostates, against the believers even straying and becoming an apostate. We find in verse 17, 18, and 19, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last days, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Jude is writing to believers. He says, but beloved, believers, those who know Christ as Savior, those who are loved of God. And he uses that word that we need to hear very often. Remember. As a parent, we use that word quite a bit, or we should with our children. Remember. Remember. We need to call to their attention times in their lives when they've been disobedient, they suffered the consequences in the family life. Jude felt like it was important enough to remind these believers that he was writing to remember. Remember, believers are constantly urged in 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, now in Jude, to remember. We go over the same thing sometimes, repetition, simply because that helps the truths to stick. We can become sometimes criticized because they say, is that all you ever talk about, think about? Let me ask you a question. What greater thing would God have us to do as believers than witness for Him, to have a testimony, share the gospel, to invite people, to encourage people, come alongside and befriend people who need that friendship, who need that encouragement, who are going through difficult times. We talk about Uvalde and the tragedy that struck there and the sorrow that that local community is going through. But do you know we have people in our community, maybe if not going through that, but they have been notified one morning that their 19-year-old son was dead, had died in his sleep. Not suicide, but of natural causes. They need our encouragement. We can reach out to them, and that's what we're attempting to do this coming Saturday at 11. If you desire to come, we'd love to have you here with us, to be an encouragement to these ones who've lost their loved one, to stand alongside and to encourage that young wife or that wife of many years who has recently found out that her husband wanted a divorce. We need to stand alongside people like that. That man who has just lost his job and he doesn't know what to do as he's on up in years as far as workers are concerned. 58 years old. We need to stand alongside and encourage them. whatever the opportunity, we need to seize that opportunity for our work for the Lord. Remember, we need to be constantly reminded to remember. Sometimes we become critical as we look at other people. We see their lives not measuring up to what we think their lives ought to be, and we become critical of them. We need to remember back in our walk, our early walk especially, as a child of God, the things that we've gone through, maybe even recently. And sometimes we can become proud. We can become proud because we've been a child of God many, many, many years. We know more than others about the Word of God. We need to be reminded, remember, at one time, you were a babe in Christ. I'm constantly reminded of that. Remember, mockers, they live to satisfy their own passionate desires. They cause divisions, live for themselves, do not have the Holy Spirit. These are those who look, sound, act like believers, churchgoers, but they've never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. These are ones who would be added to those raging waves, turbulent seas. We need to be reminded to remember, to be cautious, to pray for, to strive for, to repeat the good news time after time after time. But as we look at these things, we see the day that we live in today, things are deteriorating, and they're deteriorating rather fast. So how do we approach these days in which we live? What should we as believers do in these days that Jude calls days of apostasy, that Paul called days of apostasy? How do we live in these days when on every side we are attacked? Our peace is stripped from us. The fears continue to grow and to mount. And we sometimes find ourselves living in fear. How do we approach the days in which we live? How do we live in these days with the joy that God would have us to have? How do we go about that? How do we go about that? Is it that we store in every spare corner, nook and cranny in our home, supplies that we're afraid that we might run out of? Do we do that? Do we hoard gasoline? Do we buy bicycles instead of driving our cars? Do we stay home instead of driving to church to save on the gasoline? How do we live? Well, Jude gives us a little bit of an insight here on how believers should live. And in verse 20, he writes, "But ye, beloved," that's us. We know Christ as our Savior. We're beloved. Even if we don't know Christ, God loves us. He loves us with a perfect love. He loved us so much that He sent His Son, only Son, Christ, to die on the cross. And Christ voluntarily came for our sin and a terrible death on the cross, paid our payment, which we owed, gives us eternal life as a free gift, and even now, today, makes intercession for us. That's who we are. That's what Christ has done for us. That's how much God loves us. Jude writes, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." That doesn't mean praying in some unknown jibber-jabber. That means to depend upon the Holy Spirit when we pray, and when we don't know how to pray, we depend on the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. He does that. That's who He is. He lives within us. He brings the peace of God if we allow that to be in our lives. He brings the peace of God, the assurance that God is in control of all things, and in the end, we'll all see Him face to face. Days could be hard, but we need to be reminded once again that we are more than conquerors when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to build up ourselves. That means to, if you would, in the sense of physical exercise, we need to go to the spiritual gym that God has, His Word. We need to look into it, take instruction from it, have faith in it, and be built up. God says He's going to care for us. God says that He'll never kick us out. God says that He'll protect us. May not be the way that we think of protection, but God says, I will take care of you. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith means simply to be in the Word of God. Be there. Study. Get you some books if you need some books to go along. But let me say this. Please don't shut this book in order to read somebody else's book. One of the most resounding things that I've ever seen on a sign by the side of the road, a big sign. It says it's better to read the book than books about the book. We need to realize that. Our strength comes from the pages right here. Doesn't mean that we need to get down every time with our pen and our paper and make copious notes. But we need to spend time reading the book. We need to spend time in study of the book. God will lead you as you spend time in His Word. Study the Word of God. We find that throughout the New Testament, Peter and Paul, these ones that we look up to as great apostles, they encouraged people to spend time. As they saw as we see the last days, they encourage us to have faith, to be strong, praying in the Holy Spirit. This means depend upon the Holy Spirit as we pray to lead us in the things that we pray for. You see, when I say prayer, I pray so often, you might say, that I don't find anything new to pray about. Then you go back and pray about things you've prayed about before. You depend on the Holy Spirit, and I should depend upon the Holy Spirit as we pray. We find in verse 21, Jude goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have eternal life because of God's mercy, because of His grace, because of His love, because of His Son who gave Himself for us. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Listen, I can't help but believe, and I don't know that this is the case, but I cannot help but believe that as we go to God in prayer and as we spend time in His Word, that pleases my Heavenly Father when I do that. People say we don't know what God the Father looks like because He's a spirit. But I see Him with some kind of form. And I can't help but vision in my own mind His smile as I spend time in His Word and in prayer. And before we become too critical about that statement that I just made, before I get corrected, let me say this. And when Christ's disciples were on the water, and they looked out and they saw Christ, but they didn't recognize Him,
God's Word tells us that they supposed that he was a spirit. I'm convinced that spirits do have form. Maybe not one that I can reach out and touch. Maybe not one that I can set beside. But I believe God's Word indicates that in our need, God supplies. And I see when I go to him in prayer, I can't help but envision my Heavenly Father as smiling. My kids, my grandkids come to my house. We get the knock. They don't even knock. They come in. They're supposed to. That's their home. You know what it does to me? It brings a smile to my face. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves, in verse 21, Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Stay in the Word. Focus on Him. These days too shall pass. A dear friend of ours in the ministry for many years, Nancy was his secretary while at Bible college, would say, this too shall pass. These days in which we live, God's Word has outlined that we must go through them. These, I believe, are the latter days. We must go through them, but we'll go through them in victory if our faith and trust is in Him who gave Himself for us. We find that Jude goes on to say in verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Of some have compassion. That just simply means making a difference. To have compassion on those who are in doubt. Those who need to know Christ. Those that are going through troubling times. We need to have compassion on them. We need to have compassion on that weak brother or sister in Christ. We need to do what we can do to help strengthen them and build them up. We find in verse 23, Jude writes and he says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. What does he mean by save others? With fear, pulling them out of the fire. We can only take and remember that we at one time were lost and undone and on our way to hell. And his encouragement is, you stay after those people that are going through a difficult time. They may be lost and on their way to hell, and your kindness, your encouragement and your help and your prayer is as if you're reaching your hand down and pulling them out of the fires of hell. We need to be concerned about others. As a human being, this old nature is that I am more concerned about myself than I am about others. That my needs are met. That I have the things that I need. But you see, our attention should be on others. Christ's attention was on others. In fact, the whole world. It's as if we're pulling them out of the fire, the fires of hell, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That just simply means that while we're pulling some out of the fires of hell, we don't need to adopt some of the things that they have been involved in. I have known an individual in the past who was a very fervent soul winner, but in so doing, they began to feel like that they needed to go where these folks sometimes went for quote-unquote enjoyment on Saturday night. And they started attending those places. And their walk with the Lord suffered to the point that they even divorced their spouse because they were attracted, this old flesh is so attracted to the things of the world. So we need to be careful as we minister to others that we don't adopt some of their lifestyle in order to be where we can witness to them, be on their level, so to speak. I've heard guys talk about had to get down on their level. No, we need to be on God's level. We need to keep it simple. We need to be responsive as the Holy Spirit leads us, and God will bless our efforts. We're going to close this book of Jude with two verses, 24 and 25. And Jude writes this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen." As I looked through helps in my study of Jude, I ran across this comment by a Bible teacher that I think a lot of. It says, "This is one of the great benedictions of Scripture. A literal translation would be, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you, or make you stand, before the presence of his glory, blameless, with great rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority, before all time, both now and forever. Amen." Couldn't have said it that well myself. We, as God's children, have a great opportunity before us in the days in which we live. These days of apostasy. These days of fear. These days of unrest. We have a great opportunity to come alongside someone and be an encouragement to them. Maybe many people. That's our position, our responsibility as believers. May we, when we go out that door, be faithful in all that God leads us to do and be faithful to the instruction that we find in the Word of God to be just exactly that, Christ-like in our walk. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Father, that it's true, that it's accurate, and that it's for us today. We ask, Father, that you would complete your Word in our lives as we leave this morning. And may we be always responsive to those around us who we see an opportunity to minister to. Thank you for your faithfulness, and the faithfulness of those that are here this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.